it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back. Time for Toker Talk Radio, where we let down what's left of my hair, light up a joint, and just chat about the issues of the day. And usually, that's marijuana. Not always. This is a show where tokers talk. Not necessarily about marijuana, but usually. If there's other subjects you want to bring up, we're all for it. Phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. Just checking out my Twitter feed, at Radical Russ, and of course I tweeted out that last night's debate seals the deal. No rational, patriotic American should vote Trump. I got a response from at Luke Skyward. Luke Skyward, I should say. His response was, breaking, dispensary shelves empty as liberals amass cannabis arsenals to await coming Trumpocalypse. The Trumpocalypse is coming. I let him know there's not enough weed in the world for me to be high enough to handle a President Trump. Not enough weed in the world for that. I'm going to have to switch to heroin and absinthe in that case. We're going to have to really up our drug game to be able to deal with that for sure. But it does remind me, I kind of buried the lead in that rant. My main point, the main thing of that rant, of that debate, that I think should have everyone just on edge, and so far the response seems to be this line that he said, that they asked him point blank, you know, in this election, will you accept the results of the election? Will you concede if you should lose? And Trump says, I'm not going to tell you. I haven't looked at it yet. Don't know yet. It hasn't happened yet. Don't know. Can't say. I'll keep you in suspense. What the entire fuck? Are you kidding me? And then today, he's out in the stump, you know, campaigning, and he says, I will absolutely accept the results of the election if I win. Well, no shit. Nobody thought you'd protest it if you won, dumbass. That's not the point. The winner accepting the results of the election is kind of a foregone conclusion, wouldn't you think? So, no, he's trying to play this game of, well, yeah, of course we'll accept the election unless there's shenanigans, unless there's corruption, unless the fix is in, unless it's rigged. Trying to undermine the very democratic principle that holds this country together. I think sometimes people just take this for granted, that society exists and there's order and it just works. We are like 3 days of electrical outage away from pandemonium in almost every major city in this country. It would only take about 3 days before the whole thing would fall apart. Why do people come up to stop signs on street corners in the middle of the night when there's absolutely no traffic and still stop? Why do we do that? Because we accept that there are certain there's certain acceptable ways to behave, that that obeying the laws and following the regulations is in general a good thing that provides safety and security for all of us. So the peaceful transition of power from one administration to the next administration as a part of our democratic process is pretty fundamental to that thing we accept that helps us all get along and doesn't turn us into savages, right? It's one of the bedrock principles. And to hear some of these apologists for Trump now conjuring up the Bush-Gore 2000 election as if that's the apples-to-apples comparison is just simply offensive obfuscation. It's just a misdirection. They're trying to paint it like Al Gore didn't accept the results of the 2000 election. And he absolutely did. Trust me, I'm very intimately aware of this election. First of all, the election was called for Florida by the networks, which just so happened to have one of George W. Bush's cousins working there at Fox that was the first to have announced that, and just so happened to be in Florida where his brother Jeb is the governor, and just so happened to be in Florida where Catherine Harris, the Secretary of State, who handles the elections, just happened to be George Bush's campaign manager. So the Florida thing went down, and Fox called it first for Gore. Gore calls Bush to Fox called it for Bush. Gore calls Bush to concede. Then later, as the night went on, it got so close that the networks retracted the call. So Al Gore called and retracted his concession. And then there was a recount in Florida that was required by state law. Not something Al Gore said, hey, I'm going to contest this. No, the Florida state law, when it was that close, had to be recounted. It was George Bush's team that sued to try to get the recount stopped. And then after that, how many days was it? 60 days or something? It was a long 39. I think it was 39 days that this whole election 2000 process played out through the Supreme Court and the Florida Supreme Court and all of that, where the United States Supreme Court, that's supposedly we don't touch states and their state, this time had to, jumped in the middle of what was a Florida case for the Florida Supreme Court to decide about Florida law. But we all know what happened. The Supreme Court inserted itself in that, stopped the recounts. Bush was declared victor. And when that happened, Gore was the first person to concede to Bush and accept the results of the election, even to the point of frustrating many of us who were saying, no, that's bullshit. You should sue. No, that's bullshit. We should continue. You know, there was a lot of this revolutionary talk going on in 2000 after the Supreme Court did that. And Al Gore, for the good of the country, because he's a patriot, stood down and called on his supporters to stand down and accept this crazy decision by the Supreme Court and the results of the election. So for these Trump supporters to be invoking Gore, who did one of the most patriotic things you can do, the guy who won the popular vote accepted the Supreme Court's decision, accepted the way our Constitution runs things, and conceded. So for anybody out there, because I've gotten a few people that have been getting in touch with me with, well, Trump would be better than Clinton on marijuana. Trump would be better, and that's not true. Very debatable. But even if he were, you're going to just give up everything else for pot legalization? Really? That it's that important. I mean, I'm all for pot legalization. It's my raison d'être. It's my reason for being, right? But there's a whole lot of things I wouldn't trade for pot legalization. And one of those is someone with no respect for the Constitution, who threatens our democratic principles, who doesn't understand nuclear deterrence, and who can be upset with a tweet, should not be president of the United States. All right, let me take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to address those concerns, criticisms, complaints I'm getting over my latest piece at weednews.co about your third-party vote. Hell, if you're going to vote third-party, write me in. I'm pro-weed. I got a lot of other good ideas, too. But we'll talk about that. Some people didn't like what I said about Jill Stein and Gary Johnson and Well, I'll just address that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers? From a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is.
Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And quickly addressing some of the Facebook and Twitter comments I've gotten from people. Regarding my Jill Stein, Gary Johnson slams that I've been putting out on the web. And part of the reason I'm doing this is because I'm frustrated by what I think is a very selfish and politically naive view. I got this guy that's commenting here that says, a wasted vote is a vote for a candidate you don't believe in. Your vote is your endorsement for the candidate and their policies. Voting for a person you despise because you believe they're a lesser evil gives a nod to their respective policies. I'll vote for a candidate that comes closest to sharing my values over a bad actor whom I share little in common with just for a win. My vote is my endorsement. Now, I understand that feeling. It's the same exact feeling I articulated in an article back in February. I cannot possibly endorse someone who does X, Y, or Z. Fracking, war in Syria, whatever it might be, right? I've made that point before. And what switched my mind on that point was coming to understand that your vote isn't about you. The vote isn't about you. It isn't about what makes you feel good or what you approve of or what you endorse. That's not what the vote is about. The vote is about America and what makes America better and what's best for this country. not what's best for you, not what you think will make you happy and ease your conscience. It's about us. It's about the whole country. This is the old conscience trope. The idea that, well, my conscience could never, never allow me to vote for Hillary or Trump. I couldn't. My conscience wouldn't let me do it. Well, folks, your conscience is that part that's supposed to make you do the right thing instead of what makes you feel good. Conscience is why you don't just do everything that makes you feel good without first thinking about how it affects others. So if you've got a conscience, you've got to think about how what you do affects other people. So that's the conscience part. The other part, the political naivete part, is not accepting or recognizing or refusing to understand how the American electoral system works. We don't have two parties because it's in the Constitution. There's nothing in the Constitution about parties. In fact, our first president didn't have a party. George Washington had no party. There was no party. But immediately after George Washington, two parties formed. Democratic Republicans and Federalists. John Adams, Federalist. Thomas Jefferson, Democratic Republicans. Now, these two parties formed not because the Constitution told them to, and not because there was anything that said there should be two parties. They formed because the rules of the game are going to make two parties evolve. The mathematics, the game theory behind our election, the first past the post single representation system that we have, winner takes all voting, guarantees you're going to have two parties. We could wipe out the Democrats and Republicans. We could find every single one of them and ship them to the moon. And come the next election, there would be two parties that would win the majority, the vast overall majority of the votes because of the way our system works. That's the math that we are stuck with. Now, you don't have to like it. I don't like it. I think it sucks. I'd much rather live in a parliamentary system where we can have multiple parties that can win seats in a parliament, that can form coalitions, where people can vote their conscience for the party that closest aligns with their values and actually have some power to do something about it. But right now, when you vote for Gary Johnson, Gary Johnson will have no power, none, to affect change in this country. If you vote for Jill Stein, she will have no power, none, to affect revolution in this country. Zero. They are going to get as many electoral votes as I am going to get. So you might as well write me in. Well, if we vote for Jill and she gets 5%, then the Green Party gets matching funds. I've heard this one. They get matching funds at 5%. Well, that's nice. You think Jill's going to get 5%? Ralph Nader in 2000 got 2.76% of the vote for the Green Party. 2.76. One of the best known Green Party candidates ever got 2.76. Jill Stein right now, her Real Clear Politics average is about 3 percentage points. But let's pretend. Let's pretend she does get 5% of the vote, which again, remember, means she has no power come November 9th. But let's say she does get 5% of the vote and the Greens get some matching funds. What happens then? The Green Party has been around since the original Ghostbusters movie was in theaters. They've been around since 1984. In that time, 1984, 32 years? In that 32-year span, that would be 8 election cycles, 8 presidential election cycles. In that 32-year span, they have managed to seat 93 nationally, 93 elected offices, none higher than mayor. One mayor in California. And 71 of those 93 are in California, by the way. So we're talking about in a 32-year span, this party has gotten 93 people elected. That works out to 2/11 of 1/10 of 1% of all people elected.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference.
Now, the libertarians are doing a little better, but they've had longer. Libertarians have been around since 1971, when Willy Wonka was in theaters, the original one. They've seeded 147 nationwide, 0.7%. And that's if you count the ones who are registered to vote Libertarian but didn't necessarily run Libertarian. They might be Republicans that just vote Libertarian. So I don't see what matching funds are going to help.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
I'm Mark Dion. I've spent 32 years in law enforcement, from beat cop to sheriff, working every day to protect Mainers. In Maine, there were over 1,700 citations given to adults for marijuana. That takes time. Time better spent solving murders, sexual assault cases, finding missing children. The system is broken. Yes on One regulates marijuana for adults, so police have time to fight serious, violent, and unsolved crimes. It's about time.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. Had to finish typing up that comment. So much to go over here. Again, the guy is saying these that he cannot endorse either of these two candidates, either Clinton or Trump. Cannot put my mark beside them. I cannot add to them the benefit of my endorsement. For I am paramount. I am all important. And what I decide and who I vote for is of paramount importance. It just seems selfish to me. See, either Clinton or Trump will be president. It's just a fact. It's just the way our first-past-the-post system works. One of those two people is going to be president. As sure as the sun comes up in the east, as sure as the water flows downhill, one of those two people will be president. You know that. Every one of you out there voting third party knows this. And yet, you'll still vote third party. You'll say, well, you know, I can't approve of either one of these people. They're both equally bad. They're both terrible. I have to vote for someone who matches what I think. My perfect candidate. My true legalization. I've got to go vote with what I like. How it might affect everybody else means nothing. Oh, yeah, sure. One of the people who could win seems to grope women a lot and wants to expand Citizens United so there can be more money in politics and seems awfully cozy with Vladimir Putin and won't disavow Russian hacking and seems to have a trigger finger for nuclear weapons and et cetera, et cetera. Wants to ban an entire religion, wants to deport 11 million people. But never mind the effect that could have on immigrants and minorities and women and Muslims and everybody else. It'd be okay if he got in, because at least then I wouldn't have affixed my vote to someone I despise. Well, aren't you a pure little snowflake? See, this attitude is just really beginning to bother me, because you know one of these two people is going to be president. Now, this third party vote is like, oh, it's the corrupt duopoly and we've got to break this corrupt system and the system is so awful. No, the system just is. You get rid of Republicans and Democrats, they'd be replaced by Greens and Libertarians, and they'd end up just as corrupt. This is the George Carlin philosophy coming out in me. We used to explain how everybody complains about politicians. He says, I don't complain about politicians. They're just people. Out of all the people that could possibly run, they're the ones that run. They're the best we got. And if you got rid of all of them and replaced them with brand new people in 2 years, they'd be just as corrupt and just as bad. It's the system itself, right? And this idea that there's going to be this revolution. Somehow we're going to vote for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson, and that's going to ferment a revolution. It's going to spark this big change. In what? What's going to change? Are we going to change first-past-the-post voting? Are we going to abolish the Electoral College? Are we going to require everybody that gets at least 0.5% in a poll gets to be on the debate stage? How do those changes occur? Because the debate thing is set by the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is something that's not in the president's purview to be able to change. The Electoral College is established by our Constitution, so that's going to require a constitutional amendment. Now, passing a constitutional amendment is going to require 3/4 of the state legislatures, which are, again, either democratically controlled or republican controlled, most of them Republican. It's going to require a 2/3 vote in the House, again, a mostly Republican House, but an almost entirely Republican and Democratic House. So we're going to abolish the Electoral College, and you're going to get the duopoly party you're trying to get out of power to agree with that by supermajorities. So there's that, right? It's like, I'm all for this revolution. I'm all for this change if you can just articulate how it happens. I don't see how it happens by throwing 8-9% of the vote at third parties that can't win and get zero electoral votes. In fact, the thing about the third parties that bother me the most is just not understanding this fundamental issue, this fundamental aspect of the electoral process, the game theory of it. They just don't understand this game theory. That with you have first past, it's called Duverger's Law. You want to look it up? D-U-V-E-R-G-E-R, Duverger's Law, French political scientist, who examined lots of countries, whole bunches of countries over time, you know, hundreds and hundreds of elections, examined this to try to figure out, you know, what was the differences between parliamentary systems and, you know, first past the post systems, Republican democracies, those kind of things. And Duverger's Law states that in a first past the post system, you're going to have two parties because of the spoiler effect that splits one of the two parties. He also found that the only time third parties have any limited measure of success are in parliamentary systems. And then only when they have some sort of regional concentration, like you could think of Bloc Québécois up in Canada, the French-Canadian bloc that's got a geographic and cultural bind to them, and similar situations in the UK Parliament and the Indian Parliament, where there are specific regional, geographical, cultural parties. And even then, they never are the majority party. They're always part of some sort of ruling coalition. So this is just, and in fact, the correlation of this that Duverger found, I mean, when you're talking about political science and social science, there's very few things that are science about them, you know, as far as like they've been double-blind tested and they're guaranteed to work this way. Duverger's Law is one of the few things in social and political science that they actually consider a law. Like, it's so ironclad that we can consider this a law of physics, like gravity. It's always going to be this way, just mathematically speaking. And so I get so frustrated every 4 years with this third party thing, because the third party thing is kind of like if we were playing chess and you got the white pieces over there and you got the black pieces over there and you're over there yelling that it's unfair that we can't put checkers on the board. Hey, how come we can't put checkers on here and move diagonally with checkers and jump over each piece and capture them like checkers? Well, you can't because we're playing chess. That's why. Checkers don't enter into the game at all. The way the game works in America, the way our electoral system works, means there will be two parties. I don't like it. You don't like it. Nobody likes it. It's a fact. It's reality. It's the way it will be. So when you spend all this time and energy talking about how your vote has to go to someone who you admire and you can't put your mark of acceptance next to the evil so-and-so, I must vote for the third party. There's got to be other voices. The right thing to do is to vote for the person who matches what you believe in. You can have all these lofty thoughts and sayings and bumper stickers and ideas and memes and posters and whatever else you want to do to make yourself feel better. It ain't gonna change the rules of the game. So when you vote third party, all you're saying to me is, hey, you know, that whole, you know, master of my own destiny thing, that whole controlling my own fate thing, fuck it. Y'all figure it out. I don't care what happens. If you're voting third party, you might as well be one of those people sitting on the couch not voting at all. You've decided that, well, I've heard about the game and I don't want to play it. The little power I have in my vote, fuck it. I don't care. I don't care what happens. Sorry. I know people hate me talking about this. I know they get really, really mad and people get really emotional about it. But that's the rule. That's the way the game's played. If you want to have any influence on what happens at the federal level in the executive branch, you vote for a Democrat or you vote for a Republican. Sorry. That's it. You want to have some say? That's your say. Well, then it's two evils, and choosing the lesser of two evil always leads to more evil, and you only get evil, and it's terrible, and I hate him, and I can't endorse this corrupt. Okay, fine, see ya. The rest of us will figure it out. And that same corporate duopoly problem that you don't like will still exist. And 4 years from now, you'll talk about some other third-party guy who once again will get 6-5% of the vote. And once again, you'll vote for him, and once again, a Democrat or a Republican will win, and will continue. This will continue to happen for the rest of our lives. And those of us who are voting Democratic or Republican will have some say. We will have the ear of those politicians. That's all there is. That's the reality. And to wish it were different is just politically naive. It's the same attitude as the stoners against legalization. I couldn't possibly affix my approval of such an evil initiative that taxes people's medicine. Oh my God, it taxes people's medicine. Oh, and it lets the big guys take over the farms, and it's just not good enough. I can't affix my name to that. I'll have to reject it. It's the same attitude. It's the same attitude of what makes me feel good. Instead of what's best for the movement, what's best for the country, what's best for the future. Now, the other part of this is this crazy idea that Clinton and Trump are just equally evil and equally bad, and it doesn't matter which one of them we elect, it'll have the same effect. Yeah, ask somebody who lost their home in Katrina and had to stand on a roof while George W. Bush's Arabian horse guy couldn't figure out how to get FEMA up and running to help him out. Ask one of them. Ask that person if they think maybe a President Gore might have done a better job. Ask anybody who's lost someone in the 9/11 attacks or the subsequent invasions of Middle Eastern countries. Ask them if they think that a President Gore, who would have received an August 6th presidential daily briefing instructing him that bin Laden was determined to attack in the United States, Ask him if he thinks a President Gore would have stayed on vacation for the rest of the month, given that kind of information. These things matter, and just statistically speaking, it's impossible that two people are equally bad or equally evil. Just statistically speaking, it's not possible. They could be equally bad. Bad in different areas, bad in different ways. Bad in more long-term bad, more short-term bad. But they're going to be bad in different ways. And however you want to evaluate them, one of them has to be better than the other, even if it's only by the tiniest, slimmest margins, you know, like 0.2 of 0.1% better or worse. You're saying that doesn't matter. You don't care. Let the one that's slightly worse be elected. It doesn't matter to me. All right, we're going to take a break. Because I got dry mouth somehow. I don't know how that happened. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com. It's time to Hemp Present.
With Inadina Stanger.
I say to you with all the fervor of my soul that God intended men to be free. Rebellion against tyranny is a righteous cause. And I believe that with every ounce of my soul, we are fighting a righteous cause because people need nature.
Marijuana!
Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio.
Sweet sativa!
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We have to bring back law and order.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Pod
2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And let me get to the other the other complaints I've gotten in my attack on Jill Stein. Oh, my goodness. So Jill Stein herself has responded to the John Oliver show on this. If you didn't see John Oliver's Last Week Tonight, he did 18 minutes on third parties, including Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. And one of the things that he pointed out was, and he wasn't, and actually, Oliver gave third parties a much, much fairer shake than I am. He many times said there's, you know, people that think that we should have there's a legitimate complaint that you should vote for who matches your interests, blah, blah, blah. He was very gracious to the idea of third parties. But when he went after Jill Stein, he actually went after her from the point of view of, let's not even consider, you know, the fact she's only getting 3% in the polls and would never win an electoral vote. Let's pretend she could. Would she be a good president? And so he went on to her signature issue, one of the number one things that she proposes. As he put it, this is her version of Donald Trump's wall. It's her big signature thing, and that is canceling student debt. A great idea. We've got like $1.3 trillion of student loan debt out there that's just crushing people. And if we canceled that, it would be phenomenal. And the young people, people that are struggling, it would have a big boost from that. But Oliver took a look at it and recognized that it's great to have this idea, but you got to have some details. You got to have some, you know, a plan for how this happens. And her plan for this was qualitative easing, which was the action that was taken during the Wall Street crash to, you know, cancel banker debt, you know, and be able to bail out the banks. And Oliver did a really good job of pointing out how that's not how that system works, and it wouldn't work that way. And finally concluded that if she can't even work out the details of her one signature proposal, how is she going to work out the details of everything else? Well, she's responded. Jill Stein's responded to this in Rolling Stone magazine. And her opening here says, quote, coming from someone who made a stunt of buying and canceling medical debt on his show and who claims to want alternatives to the failed two-party system, this disingenuous attack on the idea of canceling student debt is both puzzling and hypocritical, end quote. All right, so here's my problem with that statement. First of all, she jumps out trying to cast aspersions on Oliver for what he did. Now, if you don't follow John Oliver's show, he did this expose on the practice of debt buying, where there's these companies that make a profit by going out and buying people's debt, and then once they own that debt, they go and try to collect on it, right? And so he took advantage of this by buying a bunch of people's medical debt and then just paying it all off. He just paid off all their debts, right? So, first of all, he accomplished removing people's debt. He actually did it. It wasn't a stunt. It happened. John Oliver actually exhibited more power to cancel people's debts than Jill Stein will ever have. He did it. And second of all, he did it by paying for it. But he didn't do a qualitative easing or any sort of what she called in the segment magic trick. He actually bought it and paid for it with his money. So it wasn't a stunt. It actually succeeded. And it wasn't an attack on the idea of canceling student debt. He praised that idea. He pointed out what a great idea it would be to cancel student debt. He attacked the mechanism you proposed. He attacked the idea that qualitative easing could somehow pull this off. And then she goes on to say what he did was cherry-picked because he ignored the fact that we had other proposals to cancel student debt on the table, end quote. And she ends by saying, quote, in Iceland, the bankers who destroyed their economy are in jail. In the USA, they are laughing at us from country clubs and yachts. Don't waste your vote on this failed two-party system. Invest your vote in building a movement for deep systemic change, end quote. All right. You want deep systemic change, then vote for someone who's not going to have any power. How does that build the movement? See, I'm all for these changes. I agree the bankers should have been held accountable. I agree we need to clean house. It needs to be better. We need to end this corruption. You can't do it without some power. Now, it would be nice if all of a sudden everybody had this epiphany. If we all had this grand epiphany that the Republicans and Democrats suck, 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 and we all switched our vote to Jill Stein, and she got 51% of the vote and 274 electoral votes, and she became president, and bam, then what? Then what happens? Well, she's got a Congress made up of Republicans and Democrats. So she will, again, have to come up with some sort of compromises to accommodate getting enough votes to pass the things in her agenda. This is always the then what part, right? Like, we're going to run for president. Okay, suppose you want it. Then what? Well, you're still stuck with the same corrupt system that you've been complaining about, and now you've got to work within it. If you want this systemic change, If you really want the third parties to have some sort of possible power in this country, you've got to change the game. Not the players. It doesn't matter who we put in the Oval Office. If we elected Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, it would not mean the rise of third parties. We would still have the same math to deal with. It could happen. Now, one of the things that I get back from people sometimes is, well, what about Abe Lincoln? What if we shut third parties out in the 1860s, 1850s? If we shut third parties out, why, Abe Lincoln would have never been president because he was a third party. And I love it when this argument comes up because, number one, it misunderstands a whole lot about that era of our history. See, we'd had two parties since the beginning of our country. Again, Washington didn't have a party, but after Washington, Adams and Jefferson made up the Federalists and the Democratic Republicans. And the Federalists won with John Adams, but after that, it was Democratic Republicans for the next generation. They had an unbroken streak of winning the White House. It was all Democratic Republicans. And the Federalists kind of faded away. Now, once the Federalists faded away, we had what was in essence a single party system of the Democratic Republicans. And what happened? From within, it started to fracture. The Democratic Republicans started to fracture. And what we got were Democratic Republicans and Whigs, W-H-I-G, Whigs. The Whig Party. And a lot of what this division started to form over was slavery and the expansion westward in the United States. As more and more states got added, it was a big question as to whether they'd allow slavery like the South or not allow slavery like the North. And this became political, a bleeding Kansas and the Kansas-Nebraska Act, and a whole bunch of things happened. Because every state that came in, they had to add them two by two, and one had to be free and one had to be a slave state to maintain this delicate balance that we had achieved through an immoral compromise made in the Constitution. So the Democratic Republicans were this major party, and then the Whigs kind of broke off because they were more northern and abolitionist. And eventually, the Democratic Republicans started to split as well. The Democratic Republicans started to split on that slavery line where you had the free soil Democrats that, you know, the new territories should be free soil. And those free soil Democrats allied with the dying out Whig Party, mostly Northern Whigs that were also abolitionist. And so they had the Democrats, those Democrats, and then the Southern Democrats. We had a split in the major one party became two parties. Northern and Southern versions of them. And that was through 1852 and 1856 elections, where we got Buchanan, the worst president ever, right? And when Lincoln came on the scene, he was the head of this new Republican Party that was starting to sweep in these disaffected Whigs and free soil Democrats to run against the Southern Democrats, and then he won. So it wasn't so much that Lincoln's party, the Republican Party, was a third party, so much as it was the rebranding of the split of the Democratic Republicans and the absorption of the Whigs. Now, in a best case scenario, maybe that happens with the Libertarians, right? Because Trump's kind of taken the Republican Party right down the toilet. And maybe they fade into obscurity. They start to become a regional white identity type of a party, more so than they are now. And maybe the Democrats have this electoral dominance that only gets grander as the country becomes more brown, more young, more female, more enlightened. And maybe at that point, when the Democrats become this almost singular party, maybe a branch of them break off and pull in those disaffected Republicans who are withering on the vine, and maybe that becomes the next big party, but it will be a big party in opposition to the Democrats. There will still be two parties. Even in the best case scenario, there will just be two parties because of the math. And you can hate it. You can think it's immoral. You can dislike the idea of lesser two evils. But that's the system. That's the way the game is played. That's the way it works. So, you know, I was a little more adamant about this, but now, given this latest debate and the way the polls are shaping up for Hillary Clinton, fuck it, vote how you want. I don't care anymore. Just do it. I mean, I would really prefer, I would really prefer that Trump loses and loses big. I would prefer that Hillary Clinton gets a majority vote in the popular vote so that when she's in office, she has the mandate of the majority. People can't pick away at her because she just won with a plurality. I would like to see the white nationalist, racist, homophobic, misogynist, xenophobic, anti-immigration wing of the Republican Party die a nice, slow, painful death. Love to see that happening. And that would happen so much more if all these third party voters jumped on the train that can actually make that happen. But at this point, I'll just accept that, hey, Clinton's going to win this thing and she'll do some good stuff and she'll do some bad stuff and we'll be bitching about it for 4 years. And come 2020, we'll have another election and more people will want to vote for third parties and they won't get elected. And we'll just keep on going just the way we've been going. I'm not saying you can't vote third party. Hell, do it. This is America. You don't have to vote at all. That's one of the nice things about this country. You know, there are countries that have mandatory voting. Australia has mandatory voting. In that kind of system, you might make a bigger splash voting third party because you have to vote. But right now, there's no distinguishing between people who don't vote and people that vote third party when it comes to the final reaction, the final results of this thing. The change that's going to happen in America is going to happen from within the two parties. The Republicans showed it with the Tea Party. They showed that you can do that. You can primary. You can run against the establishment. You can make these kind of changes, but they happen slow, and they happen from within the system that exists, not from outside it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll close up shop. I got to get ready for football. We got the Packers and Boise State playing tonight. It's Au Gratin Touchdown Thursday.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
I was a Boston PD cop, and now, as a professor, I believe Yes on 4 is a smart choice to protect families. Let me explain. Question 4 requires strict product labeling and childproof packaging and bans advertising directed at kids. And question 4 bans consuming marijuana in public. It will tax and regulate marijuana for adults 21 and over, bringing millions in revenue for schools or law enforcement. Vote Yes on 4. Smart regulations protecting families.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
She doesn't have the look. She doesn't have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals.
or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for sticking with me throughout this little political discussion. Again, I go off the warpath sometimes, like to talk about stuff other than marijuana. And with that debate last night, I could not resist. But tomorrow, Friday, we're back into the marijuana. Full steam ahead, folks, because we've got an exclusive interview with the one and only Tommy Chong on tomorrow's show. I pre-recorded it today, spoke to him this morning for about half hour, actually. So it's a nice extended interview. We went over his time in prison, what he's doing with his career lately, talked a little bit about his health issues, and we had a long-ranging discussion on this election and his thoughts on the marijuana legalization initiatives, his thoughts on Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, third-party voting. It was a great discussion. My thanks to Tommy and all his people for setting that up, and we'll have that on the show for you tomorrow. And then also don't forget that we've got the marijuana election night that's happening on November 8th. And oh my God, it's just getting bigger and bigger, people. I just saw that today they turned in the ad specs. Apparently next week there will be a full page ad in the alternative weekly papers in, I think it's LA, San Francisco, Phoenix, Miami, a few others that are all a part of that same publishing arm. I forget who they are. But yeah, so there'll be a full page ad for marijuana election night with my smiling mug on it in a big city near you that's voting on legalization. So pick up a copy of that and snap a picture of it for me. Let me see what that looks like. I'd love to see it. But this coverage is going to be huge, people. Just absolutely amazing. We've got elected officials. Congressman Blumenauer will be joining us. We'll be talking with celebrities. We've got policy wonks like John Hudak from Brookings will be joining us to discuss the issues. We're talking to some of the candidates that are running for state elected office that are marijuana reformers. Stephanie Viscovich in Washington, Carrie Boyder in Montana, Cliff Duvall in Texas, and some others. Folks, we're even going to be talking to the opponents of marijuana legalization. I've reached out to them. We're going to try to get Kevin Sabat and Scott Gagnon and Ed Gogek and Rosalie Pakula, whoever else we can get, Bertha Madras, I don't care. We'll get them all because we're going to do this fair and balanced. We're going to have the pro side. We're going to have the con side on these issues, and I'm really looking forward to it. Marijuana Election Night 2016, we're going to be tied in with about 40 different network affiliates, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, across the country, delivering to them the election news. So this is going to be the biggest broadcast of my career. I'm actually freaking out about it. I'm just, I go into this thing and I'm like, I've been doing this as a radio guy, just a podcast guy. Most of the time it's me and a laptop, and if I'm lucky, an assistant sitting with me. And I just sit there and I cover the election. It's never been a big deal before. Now it's, we've got staff and cameramen and producers and engineers and connections to other outlets in 9 different states. And oh my God, I'm freaking out, people. It's going to be a good time, though. And that music means that it's time for us to go. Time flies when you legalize, but we'll be back tomorrow with more news, interviews, and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ Belville, live and direct from beautiful, legal Potland, Oregon. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate all of you. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.